strategy can be really hard. And I think a lot of us in this work, we often don't know where to start. How successful it was with teams of all sorts and all kinds of industries, whether it's healthcare, finance, startups, scale-ups.
Welcome to the Facilitator Podcast. My name is Jeroen Blijsie. And surprise, this time the podcast is in English because I am interviewing Ben Crothers, with whom I have had the honor to organize and host a training course on visual strategy facilitation. And Ben is still here in Amersfoort. Welcome to the show.
G'day, Rowan. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me back on the show.
Yeah, yeah. You're welcome. And by the way, have you learned some Dutch in the meantime?
I have indeed. In fact, the training that we've just been doing together, a big bonus for me is as we went through the training, people were jotting down various phrases that came up in conversation in
like,
Dutch.
Here we go.
Gezellig.
Gezellig. Really good.
Oi. Praatplaat.
Praatplaat.
That word came up a lot. Of course, doei. I'm a fan of that one. So I've been learning and teaching at the same time. It's brilliant.
Great. Awesome. Now, that's American, right? Do Australians say awesome?
They do, but it tends to be more awesome.
Awesome.
Not awesome, awesome, but awesome.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's stick to the subject. Great to have you here again. And Ben, today we talk about strategic facilitation. This is for people who are asked to facilitate a team through their strategy process.
Mm.
And do you recognize the situation when the big boss tends to produce a big slide deck of 40 slides and spends weeks and weeks producing it? You're already laughing. I see you laughing. Is that the way to produce strategy? What do you think?
Well, look, I'm going to, go out on a limb and say, no, I don't think that's the way to do it. And look, I've been guilty of doing that myself. I've been guilty of inflicting people with a massive slide deck myself. And of course, being a facilitator, like the times I've been working in companies and the times I've been working with clients, it's been thrust upon me to have to host a massive strategy session. And that is really daunting.
Yeah.
Strategy can be really hard. And I think a lot of us in this work, we often don't know where to start. And so what we do is we just make a copy of what came before us.
Yeah.
And that tends to be that massive strategy deck. We think, oh, we need to do a strategic plan. What did we do last year?
Yeah.
Well, let's just do the same thing.
Copy paste.
Yeah. And the thing is, I think a lot of people listening right now, they know that that's not the way to go, but don't have a practical alternative. And they know that they want to elevate the thinking of people in their meetings so that people are thinking more strategically and not being down in the weeds. Do people in the Netherlands say that?
Down in the weeds? Talking about too much detail, low in the ground, rather than high level.
Yes. Yeah, like we want to talk more high level, but how do we do that?
Okay. Yeah. And one of the interesting things I discovered the past 2 days when we were doing the training course together is that the past 20 to 25 years you've developed and really experienced and fine-tuned the case concept. And CASE, well, there's a big board here in the studio. CASE is an acronym of context, aspiration, solution, and execution. Can you introduce this to CASE?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a big fan of this. And by the way, I found out about this framework at a strategy consultancy that I used to work at, and that's where I got to use it myself. And I saw how successful it was with teams of all sorts and all kinds of industries, whether it's healthcare, finance, startups, scale-ups. It's flexible enough to work with any kind of strategy, and it's kind of familiar once you get into it. For example, context is essentially answering the very strategic question, where are we now? What is going on?
And is that the first question to ask in terms of time? Is that the first step, the C of context?
Yeah, the stage of context, it includes several different activities, but it's really about collecting what have we learned so far. If we do some analysis on our competition and our customers, what are our main opportunities?
Yeah.
What problem are we really trying to solve? And in analyzing and declaring and making a decision on the challenge to solve and the opportunities to go for, that sets up the whole process much better.
Okay. And I'm looking at this board now, and what I've also experienced here is that you are working with great, very effective, but simple tools. The patterns, the templates, which are really useful to invite participants to think about, in this case, the context. Can you take us along with you in the patterns you use? What is a pattern?
Absolutely, yeah. A pattern, put simply, is a visual template that everyone who's involved, whether they're subject matter experts, individual contributors, stakeholders, leadership, you name it, they can all be a part of filling that out and analyzing the information together and coming to an essence, an answer for each question that the pattern is there for together. And so what this means is we're not optimizing strategy for a strategy deck. We're optimizing strategy for the people who are having to implement it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it means now that the strategy itself is no longer a product to sell internally. It becomes a process to embrace.
Wow, this is really a powerful sentence you just spoke.
Oh, I love it.
It's maybe so logical for you, but maybe not to the audience who's listening in this podcast. I'm just repeating it. Strategy is not a product to sell, so nothing, not a big slide deck by the big boss.
Mm.
Hey guys, this is my plan. Just do it. I'm exaggerating, of course. But a process to embrace with the people concerned.
Exactly. And so it's actually, the case becomes a better way of working, where you invite people in not to give feedback on slides, but to apply their experience and tell their story at the right time, mm-hmm. in this process. So that, of course, yes, we hear that well-worn cliche, and it's true. We want to bring people on the journey. This is a great way to do it. And it means then that people are working together. They're figuring it out together. So it's not this massive thing that is one big thing that is too hard to handle. This case framework breaks it up into a logical step and logical sets of questions to answer.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, interesting. What I see is that you already described the essence of context, first discovering where are we now.
Mm.
Before you start to think about the strategy, you are jumping way forward to aspiration.
Mm.
I'm reading from the board now. From the board, I must say, where do we want to be? So why are you jumping from now way into the future? And how do you do that with the teams?
Great question. I love this question. So often, and Yaru, and I'm sure you've experienced this with teams as well, we get hung up on the solution,
mm-hmm.
and we tend to think we already know the solution. And so then we think, well, how do we go ahead and make that solution? And that is why a lot of people just jump to the set of objectives. But a much better way is to actually transport ourselves into the future. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people get hung up on trying to come up with a vision statement. And it's true. Like, we need to articulate, what dent do we want to make in mm-hmm. the universe?
Mm-hmm.
What impact do we want to make? And rather than trying to think of a solution first, we can think instead of the result of that solution. What's success going to look like? How am I going to measure that? That's what that aspiration stage is all about.
Yeah.
And, Jeroen, when I see teams do this, when they can transport themselves into the future, they get that they don't have to figure it all out. After all, they've probably got lots of highly skilled, well-paid people to figure that out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it means that they can then focus instead on success. What does that look like?
Okay. And is it also something like a feeling of success, just transporting your mind as if you were already there?
Well said. Well said. I've been doing some professional coaching myself over the past year and a half. And one of the biggest things I've gotten out of that is that future you has already got it figured out. You just have to ask them. And I know that sounds a bit woo, but it's kind of true. When we do think of that result, like, for example, we have just achieved success. We popping a bottle of bubbly. Do you say that here?
Yeah,
popping
yeah, yeah.
the champagne.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're celebrating. That gives us that fantastic feeling of achievement, and our brain experiences those endorphins, and then it is in a much better state to then come up with solutions, rather than being in a more of a fixed mindset of feeling trapped, where we've got, you know, the wrong kind of hormones running around in our system.
Yeah. Does it work that way with the hormones? You were just describing, I'm just thinking out loud, I'm here in a mess and don't feel good about where we are with the team, with the organization. And it's so hard to uncouple, is that the right word? To detach yourself or yourself from the situation.
That's a great way of putting it, to detach yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. From that, if you like, stressed state.
Yeah. And what do you do with teams to just to make it, let's get into the weeds of facilitation, if you allow me. If you want to formulate to really get into the aspiration with the team, get real answers and feelings about where do we want to be. How do you approach that as their facilitator?
Two ways, real quick. The first way is by a little bit of visualization meditation, and that is simply closing your eyes, bringing attention to your body, not letting external distractions get to you, and mentally transport yourself to a world where you have achieved that success. And not worrying about the how, but instead really seeing what that success looks like. What does it feel like? What does it smell like? Who is around you? What do you hear? And when we do that, it becomes far more concrete and authentic in our minds. And the second thing is to visualize it by drawing it. And no, we don't all have to be artists. We don't all have to be really skilled with the marker, but any kind of mark making to express yourself and make that idea in your head, that future state, more tangible on a piece of paper. Oh, you're ruined. Like, I've seen people cry because it is that authentic and powerful to them. Yeah.
Great. This is, it gives me goosebumps, to be honest.
It gives me goosebumps, yeah.
So you have a meditation, you let people relax, you ask them a lot of questions, I'm just filling it in, within the a year of one or two or three, where do you want to be, what are you doing, who are around you, what do you feel, etc. And then you invite them, I suppose, to open their eyes and draw it. That's the practical thing. Just sit down for this meditation in 5 or 10 minutes and then open your eyes, take a marker, a piece of paper, and draw what you just saw in your head. Is that the right summary?
Exactly, yeah. And then they can see for themselves something that no longer just lives in a fluffy way inside their head, but lives in a very tangible way on the paper. And when it gets out of the head and into the world, that is when people start to, pardon the pun, be drawn to their future rather than be held back in their past.
Okay. It feels like you were drawing with an elastic. You're looking to your future you, right?
Yes.
And that's also, by the way, the practice you did in the training course. You took a piece of gummy elastic. How do you call it?
Yeah, an elastic band.
Elastic band. And well, this is a podcast. People can't see it, but I'm just describing it. Pulling yourself away from the now is way more difficult than getting pulled to the future by your future self.
It is, and this is something that I learned from my physical trainer as well. That if you identify with your future self rather than with your present or past self, then it becomes easier to say no to that chocolate and say no to those chips. When an organization or a leadership team no longer identify with how they've been, but they identify with their future state, that is when you're not playing a manipulation game anymore. You're not playing, here's my strategy deck, I'm selling it to you. You're not playing that game anymore. You're just revealing to people, to each other, that favorable future. And it starts to be more of a case of, well, why wouldn't we do this?
And all right, so we have this aspiration phase. I can imagine that a strategy is about what do we do just globally, roughly, to get there, that the strategies will come much clearer as soon as the aspiration is there, right? Is that so? Is that the case?
Well, often we find, and when I say we, I'm talking about others I've worked with and clients and teams I've worked with, here it's still a little bit tempting just to go straight into the objectives and outcomes, that kind of hope. When people just think, oh, if we let's just hope that we can do these objectives, but we still need to make sure that we've entertained the right solution. Maybe not the solution that was in our heads when we first walked in the room, or maybe not the solution that the CEO has in mind, but instead we need to entertain other solutions. And that is indeed what the third stage is about, solution, where we really get to come up with a greater set of ideas of how will we achieve that success.
Yeah. Okay. This is really about how the strategy, how does the future state, maybe more in detail, look like? How do you build? How is it built?
Correct. Look, real quick example. I remember working with a state health department, a government health department, and as far as the output, if you like, of the context part of this strategy process, they realized that there were so many citizens that were having to tell their health complication story over and over and over again.
Okay.
And that was very frustrating for everyone. And what they found in the aspiration space is, well, rather than that, they want a world where people tell their health story once.
Okay, so I'm a patient, I'm sick. That's cool. If you are going to a clinic or a big hospital, over and over again, indeed, you need to tell your story to the nurse, to the doctor.
That's right.
Only
and the next
once.
Specialist and the next specialist and the next specialist. And rather than that, they wanted a world where, as you say, that was telling the story only once. So that was, if you like, the success statement. And the solution phase was all about thinking, well, what is going to get us to that solution? And yes, there needed to be some changes in the technical systems. Yes, there needed to be changes in the policy, because we have to make sure that we honor people's privacy when it comes to what medical information we store and reveal and what we don't. The most important part of that solution space was actually mapping the space. And here again is where visuals came to the rescue, where we got to map all the stakeholders and the systems and the journeys that patients went through to what that would look like if they only told their story once. And yeah, quite frankly, we couldn't have come up with that solution if we didn't visually map it.
Okay, so talking about visual mapping, that sounds like a technique. You are facilitating a technique.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not something that is super technical and only one skilled person in the room can do.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, with these visual frameworks that Jeroen, like I know yourself use and I use and
yep.
lots of facilitators use, anyone can pick up the marker and just make simple circles and simple labels and make those visual connections between parts of this system.
Yep.
And before you know it, you've got one big map that has everyone's contribution into one common space mm-hmm. with a common language.
Yep.
That is so effective.
So people can see it from a high level?
Absolutely.
As a matter of speech, from the helicopter.
Mm.
Is that also said in Australia? You're looking from the helicopter?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The helicopter view.
Helicopter view. Yeah. We say exactly the same in English, helicopter view. And when you meet each other in a helicopter view level, it's easier to really remain at that level.
Yes, because we can all start to have a common perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And visuals are great at helping people find that common perspective.
Cool. This is cool. Ben, we've talked about context, aspiration, solution. Of course, then you will get to the execution phase. Maybe a short thing about that. And then I'm going to ask you to something that happened in a workshop maybe that you probably like to forget. We'll see. But first...
that's the thing with coming on these podcast shows, isn't it? I've got to tell something that is not
okay, but going to be first nice, I'm going to distract you with the question, how about execution? How do you facilitate in the execution phase?
Yes, great question. One thing I can say, how you facilitate in this execution phase, much more easily, and it's because the material we're dealing with in the execution phase is all about what are the people we need, the processes we need, and the systems we need to make this solution.
Mm-hmm.
And because we've clearly articulated the problem to solve in the context phase, and because we've got that clear success statement and how to measure it in the aspiration phase, and because we've gone and made a prototype of a solution in the solution phase, we've been de-risking the strategy all along. And so by the time it comes to how to execute on this solution, a lot of the tough questions are already answered.
Yeah.
A lot of people's expertise has already been applied. The arguments about budget or time in some subject matter expert's calendar, they're already dealt with.
Okay.
And so I've seen when it comes to, yes, facilitating, yes, of course, we still need to work out a strategic plan, but it takes half a day, not half a month.
Oh, wow, half a day.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's also because you use these patterns, the visual templates.
Absolutely.
To lead you through the process.
Yeah. And look, everyone knows, project managers know how to use a spreadsheet, and project managers know how to use the project management apps that are around now, like Trello and Monday and all this fantastic software. But not everyone does. And so these visual patterns let everyone have a say on when they would come into the project,
mm-hmm.
what skills and capabilities and systems they would bring into the project, even if it's something called a swim lane diagram or a journey map or a service blueprint. And these are all visual frameworks that we can Google and look up, and there's great templates available. And it democratizes this planning game so that no one person has the monopoly on how to get it all done.
Yeah, okay. So we've discussed the case, context, aspiration, solution, execution.
Mm.
Before I'm going to ask you the final question, what has gone wrong, and tell us about it. If people want to learn more about this way of facilitating strategy processes, where should I look? Do you have a website? Is there an article?
Jeroen, the easiest thing to do to point people to is brightpilots.com/case. So that's bright, as in the future is bright.
Mm-hmm.
pilots, as in the people who fly planes, brightpilots.com/case, C-A-S-E.
Okay.
And I've got a summary of the framework there.
Excellent. And we'll also make sure that there will be a link in the show notes of this show to the website.
Great.
To make it easy. Final question, Ben. Just entertain us with something that went wrong in one of your sessions.
Look, as you can tell, I like frameworks. Mm-hmm. I can't help but like the theory as well as the practice. And I'm thinking of one particular team. It was a water utility in Australia. And look, I guess I got... I think I got hung up in my own solution.
Mm-hmm.
Even as I was facilitating, I was coming up with a solution in my head, you know. And if I'm honest, I was thinking, oh, Ben, this is really smart. Yeah, you got it all figured out. And I fell into that trap of trying to push a solution that the rest of the team, or the actual leadership team, didn't understand and was certainly not theirs.
They didn't say, hey, Ben, you're a genius?
No, surprise, surprise. No, they didn't. And it was a multi-day exercise. I remember going home and that night just feeling really frustrated. I was thinking, what is wrong? Why am I stressed out? And that is why. And then when we kicked off the following morning, I took a completely different tack. I certainly didn't draw attention to it. That wouldn't have helped. As a facilitator, as we know, sometimes there's times where we share where we're at and other times there are not.
Yep.
But instead, I worked much harder at getting them to articulate their solution, which of course ended up being far more effective.
And it requires a little patience from yourself as a facilitator.
Yeah, yeah. Look, massive, massive lesson to me. Yeah.
All right, Ben, thank you for sharing this. This was the final question. It was great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and I have the feeling it will not be the last episode we will be recording. We'll see in the future.
Oh, we'll see. Oh, look, I'm happy to come back anytime. It's a real privilege.
And by the way, it's now October 2024. Next year, 2025, you are planning to get back to Europe, to the Netherlands, to repeat these training courses on visual strategy facilitation skills, right?
I hope so. I really hope so. Based on how well they were received and the great things that the participants were saying about it, like the material landed really well. They found it really useful. And yeah, look, nothing fires me up more, Jeroen, than being able to help others, help their teams in this kind of strategic thinking. Yeah, so I hope to be back.
Excellent. Thank you for being in the show.
Thanks, Jeroen.
And looking back at this interview, what really touched me was the saying of Ben, strategy is not a product to sell, but a process to embrace. Meaning that apparently he succeeds in making it easy for people and really intuitive to understand strategy and to have a stake in really co-developing the strategy for the organization, which makes it easier to put it into practice. That's, as far as I'm concerned, is the real summary of the approach of making strategy in a visual way. I do hope that you've enjoyed this interview. If you want to know more about this approach of facilitating strategy in a visual way, please check the website focusfacilitators.nl, because Ben will be back in spring 2025, in April and May, to again organize a few of these interesting training courses. That's it for now. See you next time.